know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It's myself, Mamuzi, alongside me, the legendary one and only Coach Brendan Sir. The Indiana Pacers join the Oklahoma City Thunder as both being one win away from the NBA Finals. They also join Mamuzi as one win away from being free this weekend.
I'm not sure who the hell I should be rooting for. Pacers, OKC, or Mo. I think I'm rooting for Mo.
It's all the same. At this point. But the Pacers tonight with a 130 to 121 win against the New York Knicks. And I want to say this, because Tyrese Haliburton, he catches a lot of flack online. But tonight, he played almost a perfect game of basketball. He finished with 32 points, 15 assists, 12 rebounds, 4 steals, and 0 turnovers. The only other players to have 30, 10, and 15 in a playoff game is the big O, Oscar Robertson, and Nikola Jokic. That's legendary company. And it's not often spoken enough about how Tyrese Haliburton can rack up all of these assists and never turn the ball over.
And the only player to do all that and no turnovers, including the big O and Jokic. I got to give Indiana a lot of credit. They took care of business. They did what you're supposed to. The game was incredibly physical, incredibly hard played. But I'll tell you what, I thought Indiana was ready. They got a lot of help from different guys. Your guy, Bennett Mathurin, came in and did great today.
He heard the show, because you know what I said last time wasn't too nice about him. But tonight,
no, I know
he came in with 20 points off the bench. Although I think like six of them were free throws at the end, but
yeah, but he came in five of eight from the field, and he's very physical. He creates havoc out there and the whole deal, But I thought their team was excellent tonight, and you know, so I mean, a big win, and now you can smell it. They're one win away. I think it's good. You know, I think the Knicks, they played all the way to the end. You know, usually teams, when they're 10, 11 points in the last minute, they just bring the ball up the court and they don't take a shot. They played till the final buzzer, you know.
Yeah, because they saw Indiana do it to them in game one.
Yeah, so they never stopped. And I give them credit for that. I think they'll be a tough out at home at the Garden, because they have not played well at home. Yeah. And you don't want to lose three games, all three of your games at home. That will be something they can't live with all year long, because the Garden is a terrific home court. They have just been dreadful in the playoffs. So I expect them to come out and play hard, not to ruin your weekend, but I think, we'll get to the game five picks.
We'll get to the game five picks. But not only did Tyrese have 32, 15, and 12, Pascal Siakam stepped up for a 30 piece of his own. We spoke about Benedict Mathurin having 20 off the bench. They also got double digits from Turner and Nesmith. A quiet night for Andrew Nembhard, who went 1 of 9 from the field. But you can't have everything. You'll take your wins where you can get them. Over on the Knicks side, Jalen Brunson, of course, with 31 points. Karl-Anthony Towns, 24 points. OG, 22. Mikal Bridges, 17. Josh Hart, only 6 points. Mitchell Robinson, only 6 points in that starting lineup. It was interesting. At the start of the game, we had a rare Precious Achiuwa appearance just for a couple of minutes to get Mitch some rest early in the game, because Karl-Anthony Towns was in foul trouble from pretty early on.
One of the things my friend Rick Carlisle is doing in their press conferences is he's trolling the Knicks bench, and he'll say, you know what, they've got Precious Achiuwa over there and he hasn't played, and they have Cam Payne and he didn't play last game, and he's like naming different guys, and it's so funny. But you know, Precious got a little, you know, just put him in the 2 minutes or so. But he's a good player. I think the Knicks' problem, Mo, is they can't score. And I know it sounds funny. They can't score against this team. And I don't see how they can win, because I don't see how they can score against them enough to win. That's my opinion. And they couldn't score until the fourth quarter of the last game. So I think it's held up all four games.
Yeah, it's pretty tough to score when you're constantly taking the ball out of the basket on defense. And the reason why they're taking the ball out of the basket on defense is because, number one, Indiana hit their shots. They're back to shooting 40% tonight. But also the amount of fast break points that they get, even when it's not off a turnover or a miss, even if it's a quick inbound, and we've spoken about this all series long, but the Pacers just fly up the court and they just get it to go quickly. And so The Knicks, on the other hand, like I think this game started in the first quarter 12-2 in terms of fast break points for the Pacers. And because the Knicks have to work so hard in the half court, bearing in mind the full court pressure of the defense, they have to manufacture these easy opportunities to score. We all know what Jalen Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns can do, but the Pacers just get easier offense because of the pace at which they play.
I think the length, the size, the height of their guys really bothers the Knicks. You know, the guys that are playing in the front court for them are guards. It's Josh Hart, it's Mikal Bridges, it's OG. On other teams, those guys would be two guards and small forwards. They're like their three fours, and you know, and so they're just too small, in my opinion. So I think it's really, and the guys on Pacers are so damn physical. They are playing physical. And the referees are letting him be physical. That's the big difference.
I don't know if I would agree with that because some of the foul calls that I've seen in this
I
series are
don't have that much
very.
experience, you know, to compare to you, but you know, I'll let you slide on that.
Well, let me ask you this because some of the calls that I'm seeing in this series get called as fouls. In the first round against Detroit, they weren't being called as fouls. So what do we have? Like kind of regular season here and then Pistons over here and then this is somewhere in the middle. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I thought you know, I thought I'm not judging, but tonight, and I thought tonight the game was frankly not well officiated at all either way. But I'm saying with the game being so physical, I think Naismith against Brunson, and I
Okay,
think some
I
of
get what you're
that's
saying.
what I mean. I think physically they dominate them. If you're going to let the Pacers be physical, they can be more physical, I
Because
think.
we saw like some turnovers from Jalen Brunson because Aaron Nesmith is fighting so hard to go over those screens, and it's
Yes.
leading to backcourt violations or poking the ball away. And you know, credit really to just Aaron Nesmith's tenacity. He was questionable for the game. He got cleared just a couple of hours before tip off to play. He came out and gave them an efficient shooting night. 55% from the field, but it was just all hustle. It doesn't really show up on the stat sheet, but
No, he was just his defensive presence was all they needed tonight, in my opinion. To slow even though Brunson at 31, he had to shoot the ball at a bunch. And you know, I thought, you know, and he just kept going one on one every time he touched the ball. They have no movement on their offense, the Knicks, in my opinion. Whereas the other guys seem to be dominating, can get downhill. It looks like Halliburton can go get downhill whenever he wants, where Brunson can't. And his speed, quickness, and incredible size, 6'7". You know, he's, you know, and he's so fast and he's got tremendous footwork. So I think they're, and Nembhard, you know, he didn't have numbers tonight, but what he did is he's so damn efficient out there and he just plays. And sometimes you just need guys that are going to guard the ball, move the ball, and not go hunting for shots. And he didn't. He made sure that everyone else was getting shots. He just played basketball.
Just going back to the physicalness of Aaron Nesmith, how much does that wear down a smaller guard like Jalen Brunson as the series continues to roll on?
Well, it's the cumulative toll of being picked up 94 feet on every possession when we score. And so when you do that, it's not what happens. It's just constantly knowing that I got to work every time. So now you see Brunson doesn't even want to bring it up. He
They got
wants
McBride
other
in there, they
guys.
had Shamet in there. Maybe
Well,
we'll
they
see
want.
campaign in
Oh,
game five, but this
no, I don't think so.
is
I think we might have seen him for the last time in a
the
Knicks uniform.
campaign.
Yeah, I think you'll see Hart bringing a ball up, OG, guys like that, you know, because they just don't want, he doesn't want to handle the ball all the time. He's worn out. He really is, you know, so, and that's the purpose of this.
And talking about the Knicks offense, and you said like kind of the lack of movement and stuff that they run, it's really tough because you know we kind of joked about it before that Brunson's turned into a Luka type player, which is so ball dominant. But we really saw, I think it was the third quarter where it was just Cat and Brunson taking turns to score, which is great because they're both great scorers. However, there are three other guys out there with them, and if you're not running off ball stuff to get them easy looks, is not to say that they will be less engaged in the game, but we all know when players get more touches on offense, they can go up a level defensively as well.
Yeah, see, when you have a small team like the Knicks have, they really play with one big and four smalls. That's when you should move people and move the ball. Instead, the ball is staying in one place, whoever's dribbling it. And there's no passing, cutting, and things like that. Therefore, it's easy to guard. You basically know exactly where the ball is, and you load up at that one guy. You're physical. When there's a pick and roll, they don't even let the guy set the pick. They are up there physically banging that guy so he doesn't get a clean shot on the on Naismith, guarding him. So I think their strategy is absolutely brilliant by the Pacers, and it's really one of we're going to play more people, good people, and wear your ass out. And I think it's really great strategy.
Absolutely. Rick Carlisle has done a fantastic job in coaching this series as well, in my opinion. I think he's running rings around Coach Thibodeau, and that's with the greatest respect to Tom Thibodeau. But it's easier to coach, I guess, when you have more versatility in what you can do.
Mo, here's a great saying that my mentor and coach Hubie Brown taught me when I came into the NBA. He was my high school coach, and also then when I came into the league with the Atlanta Hawks, I remember when I got there, he was being presented, first week of the season with the coach NBA coach of the year from the previous year. And when he accepted the award, he made a statement that I have never forgotten, basically 47 years ago. And he said, "The notoriety of a coach is dictated by the execution of his players under pressure." So Rick Carlisle is a tremendous coach because his players, the Pacers, execute under pressure. And that's the same with Mark Daigneault, Tibbs, it doesn't matter, Finchie. All those guys, when you're Phil Jackson, Pat Riley, Chuck Daly, all those guys, you get your notoriety when your players execute under pressure. Conversely, the great players, Halliburton, Steph Curry, SGA, those guys' notoriety is when they execute under pressure, especially in the playoffs.
Absolutely. What did you see in this one, looking ahead to game five? That the Knicks could potentially adjust to, or have they played their hand and they're out of options now?
I don't think they have any adjustment. They just have to come out and play totally all out physically, and they have to come out with an incredible presence, a desire to go back into that incredible atmosphere in Indianapolis and want to go again. And that's when you find out a lot about your team, whether they're ready to say no mas, as we've had enough, okay? And you'll see it at home. Do you want to win so that you have to get your ass on a plane the next day? That's what happens. And I expect the Knicks to play incredibly well for three and a half quarters, but we'll see in the last 3 to 4 minutes of the game whether they want to get on that plane or not. And I've taken it from someone who's gone through that.
You know what's interesting is, like, on paper, the Knicks win the rebounding battle again. They shoot better from behind the arc. However, the one stat that really fascinates me is Indiana finished with 29 assists tonight. The New York Knicks only had 17.
That's the ball not moving.
That speaks volumes about the offense that the Knicks are creating, not to mention 17 turnovers as well to go with that. But you can't have the same amount of turnovers as you have assists. That's just not a way to play winning basketball.
No, and two things. Number one, when they get to the foul line, even if it's off of a pass, and there's no assist there, but also they were sloppy on their screening and they got offensive fouls. They had turnovers like that. They were not good enough to win tonight. And when you win on the road, like, you really have to get unbelievably lucky. You got to shoot the ball incredibly well. You got to defend out of your butt. And everyone's got to be solid. They didn't have that at all, I didn't think.
Yeah, the Pacers were in control. There were stretches where the Knicks would get back into the game and take a little lead, but the Pacers were in control for the vast majority of
I
this
agree.
evening's basketball.
Yeah,
So,
it wasn't a game that I think they had to, even though the game got, 6, 7 points, a couple of, I never thought the game was in danger at all.
absolutely. So, looking ahead to tonight for me, or tomorrow night for you, OKC with the chance to close out the series at home. How do you like their chances? Because The thing about playing for your life, we spoke about the Knicks playing for their life in game three, the Timberwolves playing for their lives in game three. Can you do that more than once in a series?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, because I think the guys that are playing now in the third, we call it the third round right now, the conference finals, they understand that we're going through seven game series, that you have to win four. They also understand that it's like each game is its own movie. And even though game and none are the same. And so I think they're going to expect tomorrow that the Wolves are going to come in and they're going to play their best game in the series. That's their expectation. Now, we'll see if those guys are, as the youngest team in the league, are getting mature and they're understanding that it's so advantageous to them to win this game so that they get time off, because there's a good chance Indiana could win. Or if Indiana loses, now they're going to have to play more. It's a huge advantage to get some rest. So I expect OKC to be able to close out
Yeah,
based on their maturity, based on their maturity.
the finals start on the 6th of June, so they get a full week off before the NBA finals. That not only will help the players rest their bodies, but also the coaching staff prepare
The
for the task
second,
at hand.
next Monday it starts,
It starts on
you're saying?
Thursday, so in a week from today,
So that is
the 6th.
fifth, the fifth.
6th. Oh, I guess it's, yeah, the 5th for you guys, 6th for me, because it's after midnight, technically.
Okay.
Yeah, because the game starts at 1 a.m. So for me, it's the 6th. For you, it's the 5th. But yeah, they get a week off, basically.
That's the big thing. And so I think that's why I think it's really important that they close out tomorrow so that they can get their legs back and get ready. And remember, they have home court advantage. OKC.
What was really interesting for me after the last game, because we spoke about Anthony Edwards and the pressure that he's facing from the defense. And in his post-game interview, he said, "I made the right plays. I passed the ball up, and I didn't have a bad game. I didn't miss a load of shots. I just didn't get a lot of shots." Do you think, coming into this one now, how much of it is going to be ego of a player who's seen the criticism of him after the last game, and a player who thinks he's the best player in the world? How much of that versus continuing to make quote unquote the right play and pass up the ball to the teammates?
You become the road to being a champion in any business, and whether it's football, basketball, any major sport, is great self-awareness and also understanding it's more about the we than about me. It's not about, and that I'm part of something bigger than myself. When you keep referring to yourself as the most important thing, whether we won or lost, or that's, you're missing the whole point. So you're not mature enough to win. And that's any player. That's not Ant. That's any player. But he talks like that a lot. He, SGA, on the other hand, a couple of years older, only he's 26, but amazing maturity.
Always about
Has
his teammates and
great humility, great humility. And I think that's a real key thing.
yeah. To be fair though, to Anthony Edwards, there are a lot of times he does show crazy love to his teammates. Especially when his teammates have a good game. He's got the famous quote of before their series or before the season started when Kevin Durant joined the Phoenix Suns. He said, "They got Kevin Durant, but we got Jaden McDaniels," which everyone laughed at until the playoffs came around and they swept the Phoenix Suns, which I thought was pretty cool. So.
Yeah.
Shout out to Jaden McDaniels, but I understand what you're saying. Which
Yeah, I mean,
version of Anthony Edwards will we see tomorrow,
that's the problem. I
though?
know who we're going to get with different players. I don't know who we're going to get with him. Not that he, I mean, I expect him to play great. He better. And Julius Randle's, all of a sudden, I'm stunned by it. I really thought he would play great, and he's probably the most disappointing guy in the series, frankly, my
Yeah, because
opinion.
up until now, he's been fantastic for them.
Yeah, and now he's had two out of four games have been bad.
Yeah.
So yeah, so
It's
I
that
mean,
game one that put him on their radar. And it was not only that, it's the first half of game one where he scored 20 of his 28 points.
yes. So I think this is going to be really, really big for him. And I just don't know. I think I don't think they're ready to, they keep taking steps and they're just not ready to take the next one, I don't think. I don't think as an organization they're tight yet. I think they still have too many guys, individuals on their team trying to do it more themselves and worried about, rather than worried about the group, they're worried about themselves. I think it's a really important thing. It's a subtle point. And you can go through it with every team that lost in the playoffs this year. But we're analyzing these two teams right now. Great team. I think they've done a great job to get to this point. They had a real chance to really play well in this series, and no show in the second half of the first game, the second game, and then I thought they played hard yesterday, but I don't think they ever had a lead in the game yesterday.
You know, one thing that really impresses me about OKC is their attention to detail when it comes to studying film, right? Because I was rewatching some bits of the game, and there was one possession where the Timberwolves are bringing the ball up the court, just walking up, dribbling, and Mark Dagnall is calling out Floppy to his defenders because he knows. But for you guys who don't know, Floppy is a play where there's a guard underneath the basket and there's screens either side, so he can either go left or go right. He runs off the
Correct.
screens to usually a catch and shoot on the wing, right? This was before Anthony Edwards even went past the free throw line. He knew what the Timberwolves were setting up to run before even the Timberwolves had called it out, right? And I just think that level of attention to detail is, we talk about adjustments. We always talk about adjustments for the team who loses, because that particular play I'm talking about, Lou Dort got caught on, I guess, a moving screen from Rudy Gobert, and Anthony Edwards hit a three. But making the adjustments even when you've won is just as important as making the adjustments even when you've lost.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same in any business. You have to be prepared to take advantage of this incredible opportunity, and they always talk about it. Are you willing to sacrifice to win and to get it? And that's what they are doing. They show a total commitment that there's tremendous alignment between everyone in that organization, from the ownership all the way down to every player, staff member, etc. It is one of the most unique organizations, I think, in the NBA by far. It is what you want an organization to be. That's how good they are from top to bottom.
Well, we're going to have to wait and see if they can get the job done, because they're at home for game five. They won't be wanting to get on a plane and go back to Minnesota for a game six, because
No.
then anything can happen. So I think it's crucial that they secure the win. And
It's amazing home court, isn't it? OKC.
fascinating.
I
But
just think it's.
do you know what I really like is the two teams that right now, both 3-1 up, look like they're going to meet in the finals. They're two of the teams who have some of the most passionate fans. And obviously, I know New York has crazy passionate fans, and Knicks fans will be mad at me saying that. But visually watching the game, every person in the arena wears the t-shirt,
Isn't that great?
because they don't have the celebrities and the influencers of the game who want to wear the outfit for the pictures. Every single person has bought in and is,
They're part of the team too. That's the way they look at
that's
it.
the
We're part of this too.
13th player on the roster.
Yeah. And I think it's great. And it's ironic is that these are considered by US standards small markets, as you know. And
I like small
look at them.
markets. Should I tell you why I like small markets?
But yeah.
I went to All-Star Weekend in Indiana. It was the first All-Star Weekend I've been to where you could walk from, and I was staying in
Oh,
like an Airbnb.
it's a
And
great
it was
downtown.
quite on the map when I booked it, because it was so last minute. It looked really far away from the arena, right? I get there and it's a 10-minute walk from the arena. And I'm just looking at it like, this would never happen in LA, in New York, Chicago. Like, I'm sitting in an Uber for like an hour to get to the game. So shout out to Indiana, because that's a
Yeah,
small
it's
market,
why
but it's good vibes.
it's a very popular place for NCAA Final Four, and it's very, very popular. We had the Big Ten tournament, men's and women's basketball there sometimes. We have the Big Ten football championship there because the fans can stay in all these great hotels downtown, great restaurants and stuff like that. And did you, when you got to Indianapolis, Mo, did you go to the famous St. Elmo's Steakhouse?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Oh,
I went straight to Chick-fil-A. That's my
No,
first port of call anytime I land in America. You just gotta,
Oh,
anyone
you're
who comes
saying
to
that
America with me,
just to
no.
suck up to me, you're saying
Anyone
that?
who comes to America with me knows this. When we get off the plane and get our bags from the airport, the first thing I'm doing is putting my bag in a hotel and going to Chick-fil-A. That's a non-negotiable. If you come to America with me, that's it. We're going to Chick-fil-A. That's it.
That is so beautiful, man. I tell you what, you just went up about 5 stars in my thing right now.
Coach, you don't understand, right? Anytime any of my friends go to America, they know. I don't even ask them anymore. They bring me back Chick-fil-A sauce. Just by default. They don't, I don't even ask them to do it at this point. They just put it in their suitcase.
That's
There we
my,
go. And they
yeah.
just bring it back.
That's my as my first stop in the morning every day. That's
Man,
my
Chick-fil-A breakfast goes crazy.
as my office.
How about that? Two series at 3-1. So now we got the filler content about Chick-fil-A. Who would have
Yeah,
thought?
St. Elmo's with the great steaks and the hottest shrimp cocktail sauce in the world, but it is a special place.
Yeah, I think, where did I go to when I was in India? I think I was just constantly in meetings and doing events and stuff like that. I didn't actually go to many restaurants. I was whatever they have at the event. That's me sorted. That's the thing about All-Star Weekend. I've got to meet so many people that it's just here, there, and everywhere. So maybe you never know. If
Someday we'll get
I
there.
ever return to Indiana, if the Celtics get their stuff together and get back to the conference finals, they might see the Pacers. I should have gone last year for the conference finals, but
That's
I
true.
wasn't going
That's
there for a
true.
sweep.
Yeah,
But
that's true.
let me ask you this, right, Coach? Because you've been around so many teams and so many players, right? How common is it for a team to know that they're beaten before the series has ended? Because for fans and media who look at a series and the scoreboard says 3-1, and you spoke earlier about they know it's a 7-game series, but when you see that 3-1 and you know you're going to have to win, like you have to win all the remaining games, right? And the chances of doing that in the NBA playoffs are very, very difficult. How often do teams and or you just see some guys in the locker room just know that it's a losing battle that they're fighting?
You're not going to see it in the, you'll see it possibly in the first round, second round, but you're not going to see it conference finals and finals, obviously. They're smart. They know what's going on, but you have to have that. You've gotten so far, you're one of the best teams in the league. You believe that you can get it done. And there have been. Michael Malone, who's a former Denver coach, during, the infamous bubble during the pandemic, he brought two teams back from 3-1 to win in the bubble.
But the
But
bubble was
there
kind of
was no
different
travel.
because,
There's no travel and stuff like that, and there's no fans. So there was a big di difference, but still.
but also, I know players who were in the bubble who didn't want to win because they just wanted to leave the bubble and go home. So that's kind of.
Yeah, I mean, but this was the playoffs, and
Yeah, in
they're
the
so
later rounds of the playoffs, I've spoken firsthand to players who won't be named, but they had no interest in winning that championship.
well, they probably couldn't. Let's put it
I
that way. They probably
don't
couldn't have,
know. I think you'd be a little shocked, but we'll see. We'll see how Minnesota can fight. They really need a big game because they got the bench game. In a series, you're going to get a game where you get the bench production. Indiana got that tonight from Mathurin. Minnesota got that last night from
Yeah,
DiVincenzo,
we
Naz Reid, and
both
Alexander.
teams have deep rosters, good players. I think Minnesota's better than the Knicks. I really do. I really think they are. And I think Minnesota's very close to the Pacers. I think they're really, close teams. These teams that are all involved now are really, really good. And I think for the most part, some have even overachieved. To get here, probably 3 to 4 teams.
I don't
That's
think
why.
anyone in the world outside of Pacers fans had the Pacers making the NBA Finals.
That's what I'm
And
saying.
most didn't even have them beating Cleveland.
I mean, so they were the fourth ranked team, right? And the Knicks were third, and Minnesota was
Sixth.
seventh. No,
Seventh.
six, 3 versus 6. Lakers were three, they were six. That's what I'm saying. So we have teams that 3 out of 4 people didn't expect to be in this position right now. So they're competing, they're playing hard. And I always believe in a 7-game series mode, barring injuries, the best team wins 7-game series
I agree.
most times. It's not like college, one and done, stuff like that. You can get lucky. Not,
How
not.
fascinating would it be if the NBA playoffs were one and done, though?
Awful.
Because you would have so many surprise winners compared to
Well,
usual.
see, the difference is in the college game, we play on neutral courts,
Yeah, no home court.
no home courts. And the other thing is, the referees that do the games, you might never have seen them all year. We have professional, the best referees in the world working these games that work all year. And so it's an incredible system, for my opinion, for the to find out who the best team is, not who is the luckiest team. So I think it's the right system.
Absolutely. The journey to finding the best team in the NBA continues with Game 5 between the Minnesota Timberwolves and Oklahoma City Thunder tonight. Following that, the day after will be the Indiana Pacers trying to close out the New York Knicks. We'll be back breaking it all down for you guys. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast from. Check out Coaching You. That's coaching and then the letter U, not YOU. Coaching You. Just Google it. You'll find everything you need to find. And until tomorrow, get buckets.